Take your Bibles with me and turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. One of my favorite verses of scripture that I want to look at again. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your strength and your grace and your truth. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us this morning and help those around us who are living in the fog of their thinking, who do not understand how Satan has blinded the minds of those that are lost, lest they see the glorious gospel. And even sometimes among us Christians who brings confusion and distortion. And I pray, Lord, you would encourage us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Years ago when I was in college, and I believe the sign is at the cafe, and I won't say it exactly right, but I was in college and read a little saying. And it said, shallow people only talk about things. Mediocre minds only talk about people. But strong minds think on ideas. And that just hit me. And that motivated, that's probably at the point in my life when I became determined to learn more than I knew. Ideas are Satan's trap. He works to trick and deceive people. He has no other mechanism than to deceive you. And I want you to notice, first of all, in verse 1, the serpent, Satan. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. The serpent, whatever he was at this point, Satan had taken over him and he spoke. And apparently Eve was not alarmed by that. Where did this Satan come from? Well, Job 38 says, Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for glory. Most understand that to mean the angels who rejoiced at God creating the world, including Satan himself. But something happened. Isaiah says this, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Said a man, take me up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, who Satan was behind, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou seals up the sum, full of wisdom, and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee as thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Whatever happened, he was an exalted angel, and he chose to exalt himself above God. And he fell and became Satan. And that is who is speaking through the serpent here, this angelic being, now a demon, now Satan, now speaking through the serpent. I want you to notice what it says. He deceives the mind. He was more deceitful and more cunning than the rest. He was more subtle. See, Satan doesn't just come right out and say it. He always couches it. He always covers it in nice, flowery language. That's what they do today. That's the way they work today. In the debates of today, they use nice and flowery language. They cover it up. They sort of say things subtly so nobody will realize the significance of it. He is very cunning. He is very subtle. He's deceitful. This is Satan we're talking about. He did not care anything about Eve. He wanted to bring her to terrible destruction. He wanted to destroy her and Adam's life. He cared nothing for them. But he masquerades himself as this wonderful, caring being. He is deceptive in how he approaches things. He can't just say it right out. He is deceptive. Sometimes temptation is an accomplishment of a good thing in a wrong way. Satan said, I can give you what you need and want, and there will be no bad consequences. He is deceptive in how he does it. Much of the language of today that is debated on is deceptive in nature. People use nice little words to describe what is sin. They've couched it in different words so that we won't realize the significance of what they're talking about. Because if we said the words right out, oh, we would know the truth. But they couch it in deception. And that's what Satan does. Now, I want you to notice his conversation with Eve. He begins in verse 1, he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? His first question, you mean to tell me that God has made it possible where you can't eat of every single tree in this garden? And there's an implication there. He don't come right out and say it, but he wants to imply something. I want you to notice three things he implied. First, he deceived about the word. He questioned and deceived the way God said it. God said, man, you can eat of all the trees. They just one you can't eat from. And he comes along and says, you mean to tell me you can't eat of everything? In other words, to get her mind off all the wonderful things she had and to only focus on the one thing she couldn't. You mean you can't eat of everything? He caused her to doubt God's word, to doubt what God said. If you believe what the world says more than what the Bible says, even if you don't understand it entirely, you will be deceived. Because the world is not interested in the Bible. They cast doubt on the Bible. The second thing is, he deceived about God. He raised questions in Eve's mind about the truthfulness of God's word and the goodness of God's heart. You mean to tell me God is so narrow-minded and so awful that he won't let you eat of everything here? He cast doubt on the goodness of God. You mean, preacher, when I was growing up, you can't drink? Yeah, I can drink. I drink water. I drink unsweet tea. I drink a little orange juice. Why does drinking just have to be alcoholic? I've got a lot of freedom. I can drink a lot of things in life. But they couch it in negative terms. You mean to tell me that God's commandments are just awful? That way he said, God's not a good God. If someone were to come to you and you knew a parent or a friend that you knew they always had your goodness, they always wanted to bless you, never wanted to harm you in any way, and someone comes questioning about that and you fell for that, you're being deceived. Because at the heart of this question is, you mean God's not giving you everything you'll need? There's a tree here you can't have. You mean God's not going to let you eat of every one of them? Oh, and the implication is, God's not all that good. Because he's restricting your life. And then he deceived about the commandments of God. God's commands don't fully satisfy a person. You see, God said you can freely eat of all these trees. You can just enjoy yourself. You can have fun. There's just one you're not supposed to eat of. And he comes along and says, oh, you can't eat of everything in there? There's something wrong with God. And there's something wrong with his commandments. If God said, stand on your head and bark three times, he meant it. And he meant something good by it. But the moment you begin to question, well, I don't know if that's what God said. I don't know if that's what God means. Then you begin to fall off the pathway. Because if you don't understand that God's commandments are always good, they're intended for our good, they're intended for our blessing, Satan comes along and deceives the mind and says, you know, well, maybe God's commandments don't take care of everything you'll need. Maybe God isn't that good. Maybe God's holding back from you. Maybe you need to do it another way. I'll give you three things to counteract that. One, you must always believe in God's word. Always. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what science said. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not a non-science person. I believe in science. But the world sometimes takes science and use it in a political fashion. They often say there's a consensus that this is happening. Well, I don't know how you can have a consensus. Science is supposed to be absolute by testing. Evolution is a theory. You can't prove it. And they can't show any observable facts today that it is. But people just, oh, science, science. They come along with science and say, you can't drink that, it'll kill you. You can't do that, it'll kill you. And we believe everything science comes up. Now, I'm not saying don't believe science. Science is good. Science explains things. But oftentimes there is politics and political behind what they do. That's why they demean creation. Oh, my goodness, it isn't that way. You can't just believe the simple words of Scripture that God created the world the way he did it. It can't be that way because we are scientists. We know better. You have to make up your mind. You're either going to believe the Bible or you're going to believe the Word. I don't mean to be anti-science, but if it's legitimate science. The world is always trying to undermine the teachings of Scripture. And so the second thing you need to do, you need to wholeheartedly believe in God's goodness. One of the secrets to understanding the Christian life is to always believe that God is good. And if you don't like something he said, it's your problem, or either you don't understand fully what he said, which is true. He is a good God. He's a wonderful God. God never, ever once thinks evil towards his children. He is always good. And thirdly, you need to see the positive in God's commands. You know, people sometimes, oh man, you're a strict parent. Well, it depends on what you mean by strict. If you mean by being strict that I didn't let them go hang around drunkards and carousers, well, yes, I guess I was strict. But I also let my children do a whole lot of other things. We went to Iowa. We traveled many places in the country. We went all sorts of places. We had fun. We did all kinds of stuff. In other words, we've got a whole garden we can enjoy in life. There's just only a few commands we're not supposed to follow, to disobey. And if you look at God's, oh, God's so narrow-minded, he won't. You've got to see the positive in God's commands. You need to ask yourself, if God said that, why did he say it? Because he's good. You have to see the positive in God's commandments. God always gives you more to do than he says you can't do. And if you focus on what you can't do, you'll miss all the good things you can do. That's the way God is. My philosophy of raising children is raise them out in the Garden of Eden. There's a whole lot of good stuff they can do. There's just only one tree they're not supposed to eat from, and that's it. There's not a whole lot of commandments. There was only 10 when God first started in the giving the law. He didn't come up with a whole long list. Just 10. God's simple. You can enjoy yourself. You can have fun. You can talk. You can laugh. You can enjoy things. You can visit places. You can go fishing. You can go hunting. You can do all kinds of things in life. There's just a few that things God doesn't want you to do because he knows it will harm you and your family and the world around you. So you have to look at God's commandments as good. Now, notice the second thing, what Eve did. Verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. That statement by Eve shows that she has already been deceived. She has already been deceived by Satan. She's already begun to fall for the trap. Why? Well, let's take the three things. The word. I know this is minute, but I want to show one thing. She left out a word. She changed God's word by omitting the word freely. God said you can freely eat of all the trees. There's just one. She left that out and said, oh my goodness, he said we could eat the trees here. You know, we could eat all. But, and she focused on the one she couldn't have. And she left out the word freely. The word freely just means in a positive way, you can enjoy a lot of things. You can enjoy this entire garden. Let's just imagine the garden was as big as Thomas County. Look at all the trees you can enjoy. You can freely eat from all of them. That'd be so wonderful. There's just one tree in the middle of Boston you can't eat from. She left out the word freely. And then she added in verse 3, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now I understand if you're going to touch it, you're probably going to eat of it. But God did not say that. God didn't say you couldn't touch it. God said you can freely eat all these trees, they just one you're not to eat. And he didn't say you couldn't touch it. Now, obviously, if you're going to touch it, you're probably going to eat it. But he didn't say that. She added that to it. She omitted a word and she added a word. You know why? Because I believe she was already beginning to feel the harshness of what she perceived to be God's way. She was already beginning to feel, you know, Satan, well, come to think of it, you're right. I know God said I could eat all these trees, but there's one over here. Oh, I see what you mean now. There's one I can't eat from, and I can't even touch that. Woo! Man, how harsh God is. I can't even do that. I can't even touch it. You know what he's done? He's already brought a covering over her brain. And she has neglected to think of all of what she has and only focused on what she can't have, and she focuses on that in a very negative, harsh way. You'll wrinkle me if you take a commandment of God and you twist it to make it sound harsh. Because I don't believe there is one single thing in what God says that's harsh or mean. Because God intended good. And so she twisted it. She took from God's word, she added to God's word, and changed God's word. Better watch, folks. A preacher, doesn't it say in the Bible somewhere that so and so and so and so? Well, it depends on what you mean. Have you studied that? Do you know what the scripture teaches? Or are you just coming up with what you heard somebody said the scripture teaches? It's like you heard what somebody said. Well, I didn't hear them actually say it, but I heard that somebody said they said it. Well, I heard the Bible says this, and I heard it from this person and this person, so it must be true. Have you studied it? Have you tried to get into it? Have you tried to interpret it properly? Or do you just sort of go, yeah, God is kind of harsh, isn't he? And she'd already fallen for it. Second thing, she had been deceived about God. She now saw God in a more negative light. You mean to tell me that God has now said, I can't even touch that? Wow. What a narrow-minded God. And she's already begun to fall for it. God is not that good. He's not quite as good as I thought he was. He's withholding from me. He's not giving me what I want. As a matter of fact, he's even getting so mean now, he won't even let me touch it. Oh, what a narrow God he is. He's not as good as I thought. You know why folks are out there and they never come to church? One, they don't think they need it. And two, they're confused about God. There's some thinking in there. They don't see God as good. They don't see God as wonderful. See God as great. And thirdly, he then made her see the commandments of God in a negative way. Thou shalt not even touch it. Period. Woo. Boy, that God is a narrow-minded God. You know I leave today. You know what I get to do? I get to go home and eat. And I can pretty well eat anything I want to within my diet plan. And I might even cheat on that. Just depends. I didn't used to drink coffee, but I drink coffee now. I found out you can put a little sweetener in it and it tastes pretty good. When I go home, my children are going to come and visit. We're going to get to have some fun and talk and carry on. And I'll sit back and go, so that's my children, huh? You think they're quiet, but boy, they'll yak up a storm. And then I get to see my grandson. In other words, I get to do a lot of good things in life. I don't have to worry about going out and getting drunk and God telling me not to do that. I don't have to worry about going out and being immoral outside of marriage. God's provided a way that's so very good and it's wonderful. I don't have to worry about, I don't have to hate people. God said to love people. You know, it's a lot more fun to love people than it is to hate people. You ever notice people that just are just mad and hateful and just mean? That's what a lot of people are in America. They're just mad. I believe if you gave them the moon, they'd still be mad. You know, it's a lot more fun to just love people and enjoy yourself, and if someone upsets you, you just forgive them and you move on. It's just a lot more fun being a Christian than it is not being one. But boy, you say that out there to the world, they think you're crazy today. My goodness. You mean to tell me you can't do this and you can't do that and you got to go to church? Yeah, you got to go to church. It's a tough hour you spend here, isn't it? Tough one. I'm sorry, I can't make it as exciting as other things, but it's a tough hour. And you got to listen to me from 20 to 25 minutes. Oh, that is tough. Look at all the wonderful things you get to do. But the world sees it negatively. And they see God's way as negatively. Now notice Satan's response. Verse 4. The serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He once again deceived about what God said because he denied God meant what he said. He denied it. He said, oh, come on. You're not going to die. You've misunderstood God. You're not going to die. God did not mean that. That's not what the scripture means. God doesn't mean you will die. You've misunderstood it. And so Satan just flat out denies what it says. Someone was telling me recently about talking to someone and they quoted a scripture, that one of those scriptures that just said it point blank. I mean, it's just one of those verses that just said it. You don't even have to interpret it. It just said it. And the person responded and said, well, that's your interpretation. And they said, I didn't interpret anything, I just read it. Well, that's your interpretation because you read it. Denying what God's word says. Don't worry. There'll be no consequences to your lifestyle. Don't worry. And if there is consequences, you can blame the Christians about it. Because they're the evil ones. They're withholding from you. Don't worry. And then you know what he did in verse 5? He substituted his own lies. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He then not only denied what God said, but he substituted in his place a lie. God knows that if you eat from this tree, then you will be like him, and you'll know good and evil, and everything will be okay. Can I tell you this? Can I tell you what he was doing? First, he caused them to doubt that God's way is the best by doubting God is good. Then secondly, he twists the fact that God is good if you do it the wrong way. Do you see what he's doing? He's twisting the character of God. God is not good if you follow his commandments, but God is good if you disobey him. Because God does know, see? God knows. God's a good God. God's a wonderful God. God's a gracious God. God's a kind God. And you've just misunderstood God. Because God knows when you eat from the tree, then your eyes will be open and you'll be like him and you'll know everything and you'll be like God. In other words, God is good when you disobey him. But he's not good when you obey him. Boy, do I hear this quite often. I hear it so many times, it's just unbelievable, by people who never come to church. I hear it all the time. They attribute to the goodness of God in the midst of living wrong lives. And they say, certainly God is for this. Certainly God wants me to be happy. Certainly God is a good God. Certainly God wants me to have love. Certainly God wants me to be blessed. And they're extolling the goodness of God in the midst of doing something that's not right. You see what they've done? They've twisted God. And they said God is not good when you obey him. But if you disobey him, he's a good God. He blesses you. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to enjoy yourself. So go ahead and live that way. Go ahead and do that. It's okay, because God knows if you do that, then you'll be happy. Certainly, I've heard this many times. Preacher, doesn't God want me to be happy? In other words, what they're extolling is the goodness of God in a wrong way. That God is good when I do wrong, but he's not good if I obey him. You see, God is withholding from you. Satan substituted his own lie, and God is withholding from you. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and I mean this sincerely. Buddy, do I believe this? And there ain't nobody on the planet Earth going to stop me from believing that God is a good God. His commandments are good, and they're wonderful. And it don't matter if the whole world don't like him. It doesn't make any difference. Because God is a good God. He's a wonderful God. When I told my children sometimes, I do not want you to do that, and they would just maybe every once in a while buck that a little bit, I said, listen, you understand, I have your best interest at heart. Just like Rich said, parent has the best interest at heart. They don't want you to run out in the middle of that road and get hit. Don't go across that road unless you hold someone's hand. Don't go across that road unless you look ahead of time. It's not because they're wanting to be mean. It's because they want to be good. But see, people's minds are all twisted. And I think the reason is they don't read their Bible. They don't believe it. They don't honor God as a good and gracious God. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. I'm alive because God in his goodness. I'm saved because God is good. I'm going to heaven because God is good. I've been spared through some suffering because I've obeyed, and I've had some suffering because I'm just part of this world. It's not God's fault. It's just being part of this world. They trick the mind. If you go out into the system, if you go out into the political system, if you go out in the educational system, If you go out into the worldly system, if you're discerning, you'll know how they've been tricked. And they don't see God as good, and they don't see his commandments as good. They see them as narrow-minded and limiting. One of my children told one time, said, me and my buddy, we didn't have to drink. We had too much fun being sober. You can have fun, folks, being a Christian. Where's the idea we don't have fun? My goodness, I have fun all the time. I enjoy life. There's just a few things I can't do, but who wants to go out there and do those things? Because I've seen what happens to the lives that do those things. God's a good God. And so if God tells me that forsake not the assembling of yourselves to come together, I'm going to believe that's what he means, that's what he says, and he only wants good from me. He only wants to give me good, not bad. So if you don't get your mind straight on the commandments of God as being good, you're being deceived. Let's pray. Father, we love you today, and we thank you, thank you, thank you for your precious word. Not everyone can accept it, but I thank you for those that are here that do. You are a good God. You're a loving God. And if you made a commandment, it's because you wanted good for our lives, not evil. But Satan comes as a masquerader of his true nature. He's not interested in us enjoying life. He wants to destroy us. And so he deceives us. Thank you, Lord. But we won't be deceived if we always believe you're good and we always believe your commandments are good. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.